Galatians 5, verse 23, and the words I want to draw to your attention this morning are, "The fruit of the Spirit is meekness." The fruit of the Spirit is meekness. Now we come this morning to consider the next fruit of the Spirit mentioned in Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23, and it is, of course, meekness. Now, it has to be said that meekness is a much misunderstood word today. Today, the very sound of the word suggests spinelessness or weakness, and with most people, it is not a quality to be admired. However, it should be noted at the very start that meekness certainly does not mean weakness. Meekness is the fruit of the Spirit, and it is therefore the fruit of power. So what is meekness? First of all, let us consider meekness explained. Now, our English word meekness comes from an Icelandic word meaning mild or soft. And the Greek word likewise means mild or gentle. It means mild in dealing with other people. Remember what Jesus said at the beginning of his great Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 5. He said, "Blessed are the meek," or "Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth." Nowhere in Scripture does the word carry with it the idea of being spineless or timid. In biblical times, meekness meant far more than it does in our modern English. It was used by the Greeks to describe an animal that had been trained or tamed by its master to be teachable and to be quiet. For example, it was used of a horse obedient to its rein, or to a dog trained to obey a command. The term was therefore used to mean tame. For the Christian too, meekness reflects a taming through the Spirit of God, because meekness is the fruit of the Spirit. Until tamed by the Holy Spirit, Simon Peter was a rough and ready character. He was a rough diamond that needed to be polished. Then, once the Spirit of God took control of his life, all of his energy was used for the glory of God. Moses was called the meekest of men. But prior to God's call in his life, he was an unbroken, high-spirited man who needed 40 years in the desert before being brought under the control of God's Holy Spirit. Someone has said that a river under control can be used to generate power. A fire under control can heat a home. A life under the Spirit's control is the ideal thing. It is a great force for God. And the best definition for meekness that I have heard or read is strength under control. Sanders in his book says meekness is anger on a leash. Meekness is power harnessed in a loving service and respectful actions. Archbishop Trench says it is an inwrought grace of the souls, and the expression of it is first chiefly toward God. It is the temper and spirit in which we accept his dealings with us as good, and therefore without disputings or resistings. And one writer said that the word meekness conveys three ideas, three important ideas. First, it means to be submissive to the will of God. Secondly, it means to have a teachable spirit. And thirdly, and most often, meekness conveys the idea of being considerate. And the Lord Jesus Christ has said in his word, "Blessed are the meek, blessed are the gentle, blessed are the considerate, for they shall inherit the earth." One preacher said meekness reminded him of the wind. It is strong and powerful, yet sometimes it's a gentle breeze, cooling and refreshing. The word therefore contains the element of obedience. Secular Greek throws light on the meaning of this particular word in its various forms. For example, it is used of persons or things which have in them a certain soothing quality. For example, David played the harp for Saul to calm him when he was depressed. When he was in one of his moods, they sent for David, who took the harp and began to play for Saul. And as he did so, it brought some kind of peace to his mind and to his troubled heart. It is also used of words which soothe a man when he is, for example, in a state of anger. And it is used of ointment, which can soothe the pain of a wound. In Luke chapter 10, we read the story of the man who fell among the thieves and was wounded severely. And then when the good Samaritan came, he poured in the wine to clear the wound of infection or any dirt that may have been there. And then he poured in the oil to heal. And that is a beautiful picture of the child of God. We meet from time to time with people who are wounded by sin, and what a joy it is for them when we apply to them healing words, words of comfort, considerate words, to bring healing, to bring comfort to them in their times of need. And the word speaks, therefore, of power to soothe, to calm, or to tranquilize. Our understanding of meekness will deepen as we see the words associated with it in the Bible. For example, meekness keeps company with agape. In 1 Corinthians 4, verse 21, Paul asked the Corinthians whether they wished him to come with the rod or in love and in meekness. So the word is linked in the Bible with the word for love. It is also linked with a word which is usually translated gentleness. And the Apostle Paul brings these two words together in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 1 and uses them both of Christ. I beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. These were two leading features manifest in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Meekness and gentleness, because meekness is a fruit of the Spirit. And it is also connected with lowliness and humility. For example, in Ephesians 4 and verse 2, Paul again is speaking about lowliness and meekness. And in Colossians 3 verse 12, he speaks of humbleness of mind and meekness. So the Spirit of God brings meekness together with humility, with love, and with gentleness. So the word meekness keeps good company. Meekness is therefore a beautiful and powerful grace found in the hearts and in the lives of the people of God. It is like a soothing ointment that calms wherever it is applied. The meek Christian is a person who has learned to accept discipline and is therefore under the control of the Holy Spirit. He is trained in the fine art of obeying the commands of God's precious word. And the Lord Jesus Christ places a blessing upon the meek. So we have meekness explained. And then in the second place, we have meekness evidenced. The best Old Testament example of meekness is Moses, of whom we read, "Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth." Numbers 12, verse 3. Now he was far from being a weak man. He certainly was no spineless creature. He was a man who could be angry when needed, and he was a man who could be submissive when submissive was needed. He was a mighty man because he was a meek man. Notice how he prayed for his sister when she gave him a hard time. Remember the time when Miriam was smitten with leprosy, and God's servant prayed for his sister, and this demonstrates the fact that he was a meek man who could have said many things about his sister, but rather he drew nigh into the presence of God and he prayed, "Heal her, O God." This manifests this spirit of meekness. And what was true of Moses was truer still of the Lord Jesus Christ. For in him there was righteous anger. For example, when he went into the temple and he overturned the tables of the merchants who were desecrating his father's house. This was righteous anger. And then at the same time he took the children up in his arms and he blessed them. Remember how he dealt with the woman taken in adultery Everyone wanted to condemn her, but the Lord Jesus Christ dealt with her in meekness and in compassion. She went away rejoicing in the knowledge that her sins had been forgiven her by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone has said meekness is primarily a trait that enables us to respond properly to other people. Stuart Briscoe, in his commentary, said meekness is the strength of backing off from a fight you could win and a point that you could kneel down for the sake of the damage that will be done and the greater issues at stake. And sometimes when someone says something uncharitable or unkind to us or about us, the first thing we want to do is to fight or to punch that person on the nose. But the fruit of the Spirit is meekness. It's backing down, and sometimes when we back down, people think, well, that's a sign of weakness. But if we back down for the glory of God, it's a sign of meekness. It's a sign that the Spirit of God is dwelling within us. The fruit of the Spirit is meekness. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 to 4, I don't necessarily want you to turn up those verses, but I would ask you to look at them yourself later on. And in these verses, the Apostle Peter talks about meekness in a marriage. And for the setting here is of a wife seeking to win her unsaved husband to Christ. The husband does not read his Bible. He is not interested in the things of God. He doesn't go to church to hear the word of God being preached. What does the godly wife do? Nag him? No. Browbeat him? No. According to the teaching of Peter, her beauty is a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. So what does the godly wife do? She loves her husband, and she manifests that spirit of meekness, and she lets her husband see the beauty of Christ in her by demonstrating the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is meekness. And this spirit can have a powerful impact for good and for the glory of God. So when we seek to win our loved ones and our friends for the Lord Jesus Christ, let's not nag them, let's not browbeat them, but let us manifest the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is meekness. In the book of Revelation, the Lord Jesus Christ is described as the Lion of Judah. However, when John turned to look, he saw a lamb as it had been slain. Revelation chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. And in the suffering Messiah, John was aware of the apparent contrast. One so powerful, he was the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and yet one who allowed himself to be reviled of men. And we think of what he was called upon to endure. He didn't protest. He didn't fight against it. But he willingly submitted himself because that was the will of God. The fruit of the Spirit is meekness. The same divine Spirit that had been involved in the great act of creation, that was a powerful and mighty act, was the same Spirit whose power came upon Christ in the form of a dove at his baptism. And so we can see the contrast even in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a Lion of the tribe of Judah, all powerful, and yet he is a lamb that had been slain from the very foundation of the world. Here we have an amazing combination of meekness and power. And meekness is of the very essence of the character of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. No fewer than three times this quality is connected with the Lord Jesus in Matthew 11 verse 29, again in chapter 21, and then in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 1. We have meekness evidenced. The Old Testament example is Moses, and the New Testament example, and primarily the greatest example of meekness, is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And then finally, we want to think about meekness encouraged. Now, repeatedly in the Old Testament, the meek man is the man who is in special favor with God, For example, Psalm 25 verse 9 declares that the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his ways. The psalmist is really saying that the Lord shares his secrets with such a person. The Lord reveals his mind to the meek. Now, commonly in the Old Testament, the exaltation of the meek is spoken of. For example, in Psalm 147 verse 6, the psalmist says, "The Lord lifteth up the meek." And then it says, "He casteth the wicked down to the ground." So the Lord exalts the meek. And in this, surely the Lord is encouraging his people to be meek. When Jesus announced his Beatitudes, he summed up all the Old Testament references to meekness in his most powerful statement, a statement that I have already mentioned a few times today. "Blessed are the meek." Now, a number of New Testament passages show how meekness is encouraged. For example, in James chapter 1, verse 21, we are encouraged to receive with meekness the engrafted word of God. So when the word of God is read, or when the word of God is preached or proclaimed, the child of God is to receive that word as from God in the spirit of meekness. And he will render, or she will render, obedience to the revealed mind and will of God. That's the whole purpose in reading the Bible and preaching the word of God, so that the people of God will be brought to that place of obedience to God's truth. And that's what James is really talking about here. We are therefore encouraged to receive with meekness the engrafted word of God. We are therefore to obey. And James does say that we are to be more than hearers of the word of God. We are to be obeyers of the word of God. That's the message that the Spirit of God wants to get across through the pen of James. It's one thing to hear, but it is a completely different thing to obey. And when we obey the teaching or the precepts of God's word, then we are manifesting this spirit of meekness. And then from Galatians 6 and verse 1, we learn that this is the spirit in which discipline should be exercised, and in which the faults of others must be corrected. And this is something that we would do well to pay particular attention to. For the Apostle Paul says, listen to it carefully, he's speaking about a man who has been overtaken with a fault, and he is saying, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Not forgetting yourself, because there's not one of us above a fall. Therefore, when we are dealing with people who have been overtaken in a fault, we must manifest this Christ-like spirit. Now, correction can be given in a way which discourages a person and which drives that person to despair. And when we are called upon to discipline, or when we are called upon to deal with such a person, then we must do so in this meek and gentle way, just the way the Lord Jesus Christ did with a woman who was taken in adultery. There go I, but for the grace of God. So meekness is the spirit which makes correction a stimulant, not a depressant. Remember how the Lord Jesus Christ dealt with Martha in Luke chapter 10. He gently reproved her, and yet he did so to lift her up, not to pull her down, not to make her feel bad. The Lord wanted to bring some kind of improvement, therefore he dealt with her in a very loving, gracious fashion. And that's the way we need to deal with others who may have been overtaken in a fault. It's this spirit, this Christ-like spirit, because the fruit of the Spirit is meekness. And in 2 Timothy 2:25, it is the spirit in which opposition must be met. The Christian minister, for example, is urged to instruct those who oppose him in meekness. If someone says something about us, it's easy to become resentful, but the fruit of the Spirit is meekness. And the Apostle Paul deals with this when he writes to Timothy, who was a young preacher who faced opposition and difficulties as he sought to remain faithful to the Lord. And Paul was passing on his knowledge and his experience to this young man, and he was saying to him, when people oppose you, instruct them, be gentle with them. Make much of Christ and do all in your power to lift that person up. Don't discourage that person. They need to be reproved, certainly, but show them the better way, point them to Christ. And we all have failed, we all have our shortcomings, and when we go to someone who has fallen into sin or someone who needs to be reproved, let us always remember this: the fruit of the Spirit is meekness. Too often we meet those who disagree with us in a spirit in which we seek to coerce them into changing their minds. Let me use a simple illustration. There are two ways to clear ice from a window. Not that we have the problem here, but back home we certainly did have the problem. And sometimes I've done this myself. I've tried to scrape the ice of the window using my nails. Or you can use some kind of a sharp tool. Or you can light a fire on the inside. And in a very short time, when the heat reaches that icy area, then it will begin to melt. The fire works where friction fails. In 1 Peter 3 verse 15, it is the spirit of Christian witness. We need to witness in the Spirit of God, and the fruit of the Spirit is meekness. And the message of the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 3 verse 15 is this: be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So he's teaching us that we must always be ready to give a reason for the hope that is in us, but always with meekness. It will always prove to be more effective than the discourteous kind of witness which tries to ram its opinions down other people's throats. We have the example of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospels of how he witnessed to individuals. For example, John chapter 3, how he approached Nicodemus, how he dealt with him in a very gentle fashion. And he was leading him step by step to the truth of regeneration. Nicodemus couldn't understand it. The Lord was patient with him, and he gradually taught him the mind of God through his word. And then he brought him to the love of God, and he showed to him why he needed to believe, why he needed to repent. And as the Lord dealt with him in a gracious fashion, the scales were removed, and Nicodemus was born of God, because Christ patiently presented to him the teaching of the Word of God, with the result that the light shone through, and Nicodemus was powerfully converted by the grace of God. And in the next chapter, again, he dealt with the woman of Samaria, who was a sinful woman. And you can see how the Lord dealt with her. Bit by bit, step by step, the Lord gradually got to the very heart of the matter. And then he said to her, go and call your husband. And that put the woman on the spot. The Lord Jesus Christ gently reproved her for her sinful ways, and yet he spoke to her about the way of salvation. He spoke to her about the water in the well. He was saying, I am the well. Salvation is the water in the well. You need to drink at the well of salvation. So the Lord exposed the sin in her heart. The woman received the message. It brought illumination. She was converted by grace. And then she went into the nearby city and began to evangelize and brought them out to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. The fruit of the Spirit is meekness. The Lord was very meek in dealing with other people. Our witness must be winsome as well as strong. The Lord reproved sin in a most forceful fashion, but he did it in the spirit of meekness. And we are to manifest meekness in all good works that we undertake on the behalf of others. Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. And here meekness, according to James 3 verse 13, is associated with wisdom, and only as we truly fear God shall we manifest true meekness. The fruit of the Spirit is meekness. And may we fear God in such a way that we day by day will be manifesting the fruit of the Spirit. And we are to follow meekness according to 1 Timothy 6 and verse 11. But we cannot produce this fruit of the Spirit in our own strength. I have been emphasizing that the fruit of the Spirit is meekness. We all could do with a little bit more of this quality, meekness. Now, in closing, the question needs to be asked. How do you and how do I apply meekness to ourselves? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ sets before us his own example. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, he says, "Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly." Now, this verse represents a beautiful picture. To yoke up meant to become a disciple. And the context refers to the younger ox being placed in the yoke with an older, more experienced one. They walk and they work together in step. So the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, submit your life to me and walk and work with me. Let me teach you how to be meek. The fruit of the Spirit is meekness. That's what Jesus is saying. So when we yoke up with him, we become his disciple. We become his follower. The Lord Jesus Christ, if we can use the expression, is the experienced one. And as we walk and work with him, then we learn of him how to be meek. He is our example. He's the one that we need to look to. If we look around to other people, we will be disappointed. But when we look to him, we will never be disappointed. What is his yoke like? Well, he says it fits well. An ox yoke was made of wood. It was tailor-made for the animal. It fits perfectly so as not to wear or to rub the neck. So Jesus is really saying that yoking up with him is not a tedious experience, but a delightful experience. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. I am your example. Follow me, he said to his disciples, and I will make you fishers of men. You're yoked to me. You're in union with me. Learn of me. I'm your example. Follow me. And learning meekness from him brings joy into our experience. It brings fulfillment into our life. The fruit of the Spirit is meekness. Meekness explained, meekness evidenced, and meekness encouraged. The fruit of the Spirit is meekness. And I trust that each and every one of us gathered here today will manifest this fruit of the Spirit. And when we do so, we will be like Jesus Christ. And that is our aim, and that is our goal as the people of God. May God bless his word to all of our hearts. For Christ's sake, amen. Bless thy truth to all of our hearts this day. For Jesus' sake, amen.